Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we are best friends.
We are.
He's mouthing those words, listeners, I want you to know.
No, I said it out loud. I did. Oh my gosh.
How are you, Joss?
I got to turn on the space heater. It's snowing here in Connecticut again, which is a big shock. My God.
Yeah.
There we go.
What's new, baby?
Have my wine. How are you? Cheers. It's been 1 o'clock since 3:30.
Yes. It's 3:30.
No, it's now, but it has been.
Who knows what time is anymore?
Yeah, and I, of course, had to walk all the way to my fridge to fill up my wine. I just was thinking I might get a little fridge for my office, so I wouldn't have to do that.
So you could drink and work all day, but how would you get your steps in if not?
I know. My house is 786 square feet, so walking to the kitchen is not a thing. I'm being super duper lazy.
I know, but it does get you up. I need more wine.
I need more. It's the only thing, because look at my water bottle. Look how huge it is.
Oh, yes, I know.
So I won't have to walk into the kitchen.
That's smart. Yeah. Listen. This episode of Crappy Friends is brought to you by Kensington's newest title from Lindsay McKenna. I know her.
You do?
I do.
Oh.
She's lovely. Courage Under Fire. Oh, it sounds good.
It does.
Known for her unique blend of action-packed, suspenseful stories set against the expanse and beauty of the American West, New York Times bestselling author Lindsay McKenna brings us back to Silver Creek, Wyoming for a powerful story of one man's quest to protect the courageous woman he loves from a dangerous threat to their future.
Seeking an escape from her dark past, Carissa Taylor heads to Silver Creek to build a new life. For Carrie, landing a job at a historic ranch just outside of town is a dream come true and a chance to put all her beekeeping expertise to work. Not only does she feel at home in the ruggedly beautiful landscape, but she's intensely drawn to rancher Chase Bishop. Of course he's a rancher, whose strong, steadfast nature quiets her unease. Maybe here she can finally be more than a hunted woman fleeing a vengeful killer, a man who's been after her nearly all her life. Oh, wow.
Chase didn't dare open his heart again after losing his first love until Carrie entered his life. Her gentle beauty and nurturing spirit call to him like no other. So when her enraged stepbrother breaks out of prison and comes prowling around Chase's ranch, the former Marine goes into full protective mode, offering Carrie the shelter of his home. But as the murderer's deadly threats draw even closer, suddenly Chase is calling on his own killer instincts, knowing he will stop at nothing to keep safe the woman who has captured his soul.
That sounds awesome. I'm sorry. Right? That sounds pretty awesome.
Yes. And Lindsay McKenna is a New York Times and USA Today bestselling author, a pioneer of the romance genre, 175 titles to her name, with
incredible.
23 million books sold across 33 countries.
Incredible.
You can find Courage Under Fire by Lindsay McKenna wherever books are sold. Find out more at kensingtonbooks.com. And I have to say, I love a lot of Kensington authors. So,
yes, I do too. Kensington is one of my favorite imprints. But I'm saying 175 titles.
It's an overachiever. Let's just, you know. We're not going to be jealous.
I'm jealous. I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm jealous.
A little jealous. Lindsay, you're doing great.
You're doing
awesome. Keep it up, lady.
Yeah.
200s in your view. You could do that in a week. So, Joss, we have a very sweet and sad letter this week. Why don't you give it a read?
Sure. Hi, Kristen and Joss. I'm having some trouble. Might be cognitive dissonance. In regards to a past friendship that really hurt because I loved her as a friend and it seemed to be mutual for many years. But while she transitioned into a different group of friends, she suddenly did a 180. showed me her true colors, would laugh at and disrespect me in front of her new friends, etc. I felt betrayed. She used to seem to care about me a lot, was nicer to me than previous friends who were narcissistic, and seemed like she could never hurt a fly, which is why I trusted her to begin with. When I tried to talk to her about it via message to save our friendship, she was cold, dismissive, making me feel like I was a joke to her and denied that anything was wrong. Of course, it threw me for a loop and led to a domino effect of me being a needy train wreck in other situations for a while. I lost my belief and trust in friendships. I suspect she betrayed me in many ways I'll never know of. And I feel stupid because for some reason, I've always believed she was genuine. I'm now mourning our friendship and have completely moved on. I want to cherish the good memories, but I cannot. Now I feel our friendship was a lie and I feel empty and depressed and at a loss.
Signed, let's call her Empty since she did not give us a name.
Yes,
Empty. Oh, Empty. I have a lot of thoughts on your letter. Ooh. And the first is that I'm very sorry for what you're suffering. I don't believe that you have completely moved on because you wrote us this letter and you're feeling empty, depressed, and at a loss. So, Joss, what do you think about this friend who did a 180 and showed her true colors? I know what you always have to say about that situation.
Right. I think, well, Empty mentions that her previous friends were narcissistic.
Yeah.
I kind of think this one was also empty.
Yeah.
Because she denied that anything was wrong. She does the sort of standard trademark things that a narcissist would do, kind of gaslight you that way, and be very dismissive of your feelings.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, Empty, what was it about this friend that was so great? You don't mention in any way what good memories you have. You say you want to cherish the good memories. You don't mention any of the good memories. And I'd be interested to know, and maybe it'd be good for you to think about the good times, and were they really good times? Because this friend does not sound great at all.
Yeah, you say that you've been friends for many years. And that surprised me, because I'm just surprised that a friend of many years would suddenly turn on you because she had new friends. Yeah. So what I'm going to suggest, Empty, is that you have a habit of picking bad people.
Yes.
It's not so much them as you. And I don't say this like as this is your character flaw, but I think you gravitate to the same type of people, narcissists. You know, and narcissists are very charming at first.
Yes.
That's why they get where they get. You know, they're charming. They can kind of sweep you off your feet, whether it's a friend saying like, oh my gosh, wow, we have so much in common. It's so fantastic. I've never felt like this with anyone until you. And then eventually what happens in a narcissistic relationship is the narcissist is really enchanted with you genuinely because of how you regard her. And then when that gets old and maybe you're just, you know, not quite as dazzled and amazed as you used to be, then you're kind of done. And they tend to get angry. So I think, you know, one of the things that you say that kind of raises some red flags with me is that you were so wrong about her.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you have to kind of look back. And again, Joss and I are big fans of therapy.
Yeah.
Look back in your life to see, why would I be attracted to people who do this to me?
Right.
Was this the, like my mother like this? Was, you know, my brother, my father? But it threw you for such a loop. You say you were a needy train wreck. And that shows that you have given this person too much power.
Yes, agreed. I'm glad you think that she's probably betrayed you in ways you've never known, because
she has.
She has, for sure. And it's good that you manage those expectations and see her for who she really is right now. I do think the idea that this is your pattern is significant.
Yeah.
And that this is something that a skilled therapist would certainly be able to help you with. But it seems to me that this is your pattern. You don't talk a lot about this woman and her characteristics, only how she did you wrong. But what she did sounds just as narcissistic as the friends who you got rid of.
Yeah.
And so I think this is just another person in your pattern. And I think you should look really hard at that and see what's going on there. I'm not saying to say there's something like terribly wrong with you or that you're at fault in any way. These people are narcissists. They should not treat people like this. They do. But there's something about them that attracts you in the very beginning. And you don't see the commonality from the previous narcissistic friends to the ones that you're meeting now.
Right.
And I think therapy would help you to see that commonality.
And I'll tell you that in my own personal experience, I, for a long time, was drawn to people who reminded me of a very flawed person in my youth,
mm-hmm.
who had a very big impact on me. Mm-hmm. And I would sort of like, I didn't know it, but I would unconsciously look for people like that to fix them in a way that I could not fix the person from my youth.
There it is, right there.
Right. So I'm guessing that you had a narcissistic person in your family, in your childhood. And so you know their type, it's comfortable for you. And each time you engage with a friend like that, you think it's going to have a different ending. Mm-hmm. And if it does have a different ending, then you will prove to yourself that you can fix people.
Right.
And that it's not you, you know, because you fixed this person and you had a great friendship or relationship with them. And so you have broken the pattern and now you can put all that past to rest. But of course, you can't fix other people. And, you know, when I looked at, and again, like this was, you know, through therapy, it really helped me see that I was picking friends and setting myself up for failure. Because I wanted to succeed where I could not as a kid, as a teenager, couldn't break through with that relationship. So I found myself picking people who were very similar to the problematic person and trying to fix them.
Yeah.
And each time I got screwed.
Yeah. I think that's ingenious, great advice. I think you are 100% right. MT is picking people who are familiar to her for one reason or another. This is familiarity. And whether you realize it or not, they remind you of a relationship that, like Kristen says, that was not good for you. An unhealthy relationship that was not good for you, that you spent a lot of time trying to figure out why it wasn't good for you and think you can again fix this person, as Kristen is saying. And you really can't.
It's a form, like the way she's treated you is a form of abuse, and you grew up abused, emotionally abused, you know, with someone who laughed and disrespected you and betrayed you and made fun of you, then that explains why you're reaching out for people who are that type, you know, so you can say like, this person won't turn on me and therefore I will be validated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would love for you to do, MT, is look at the people that you have brought in close to you, the narcissists, the people who've hurt you and have made you, you know, so feel so bad that you are wary of all friendships.
Yeah.
And see why you were attracted to them. And then I also want you to look at the people who are around you who aren't that way.
Right.
And ask yourself why they aren't your friends.
Ask yourself too, are you pushing those people away? Are like unconsciously pushing them away? Are they perhaps looking at your choices for this friend who is so horrible to you and thinking, no way, not going to do that? Yeah, definitely. Look around at the people who are really great and why they aren't really great with you.
Right. You know, why aren't you close with them? So say you have a coworker who's absolutely lovely and you have nothing bad to say about her. And why haven't you become close friends? Mm-hmm. Is it because, as Joss is saying, she's looking at the company you keep and deciding you have a red flag? Is it because you've always been so busy with your other friend that you didn't seem open to a friendship? Or do you look at her as boring?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a habit too. I have an uncle who's very close in age to me, and he's like another brother, and he's wonderful. He has never been engaged or married.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 57 years old. And I asked him once, like, why do you think you never got married? And he said, I always picked like drama mamas, mm-hmm. you know, and like women who would like hit him with a crock pot and
oh, you know,
screen fights and stuff. And I said, this was just a recent conversation. I said, so you recognize like you didn't want the girl next door or the nice, sweet single mother. And he's like, yeah, no, they bore me. And so, you know, for him, at least he acknowledges that.
Yeah.
And he knows when he gets into a relationship, it's going to be fireworks and usually an ugly breakup and, you know,
a lot of roughness
and muttering about how he should have known. So I wonder if you have a little bit of that where you think like, look at that shiny person who's talking all about herself and she makes me rather than look at the kind, hardworking, you know, person who doesn't gossip. You know, I think that there's a reason you're drawn to these crappy friends and without really looking inward and examining your history, you're going to make the same mistake again.
And again, I would say, you know, she says, MT says, I want to cherish the good memories, but I can't. And maybe that's because you realize that the memories weren't as great as you think they are. Maybe you recognize, if you look back, that your friend was kind of bad all along, kind of self-absorbed, kind of really selfish all along, which are perfect character traits of a narcissist.
Yes. And if empty, you feel so moved to buy Crappy Friends, the book, available at all the outlets and crappyfriends.net.
Yeah.
Joss has a chapter about this very thing, about falling for somebody in a friendship that just like feels like, oh my God, we clicked, we're sisters of the heart. And, you know, and then when she stopped being useful to that person, the narcissist dumped her, like, we're done, over.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way you say that, you know, you're trying desperately to talk to her to save your friendship, she's cold and dismissive and makes you feel like a joke and denies anything that's wrong. That's classic narcissist stuff, classic abusive behavior.
Yes.
Okay. This is like a man saying, I hit you because you made me.
Oh,
it wasn't a big deal when I shoved you. You're just clumsy and you fell down the stairs. Yeah. So you are going to look back at the past through the filter of what you now know.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to reconsider those memories.
I think so.
It doesn't mean that you didn't have good times.
It doesn't mean you weren't a good person. You were a good person during that time.
It doesn't mean that at that time, she wasn't a great friend because it was serving her to be a great friend.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, and like I have done this myself, you look back at that weekend where, you know, it was just the two of you and you laughed till you cried and, you know, couldn't stop talking till 3 o'clock in the morning. That happened. That was real. But it happened because it was serving a purpose for her. And once she no longer needed you, there were not going to be any more of those weekends, any more of those laughs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You might not be able to cherish the good memories.
I don't think that you will, but I do think that a skilled therapist will help you get through this and figure out why you keep making these choices. And I do want to say that if you do go to therapy, and Chris and I love therapy, So we really encourage you to go. Do not anticipate that it's going to be a few sessions and you're done.
Yeah.
That's not how therapy works. You're going to have to really commit to it and commit to that process.
I think what therapy does is it teaches you how to reframe the narrative.
Yes.
So what you have known all your life and what you have thought all your life that has put you in the position of having these really crappy friends is you have to change that. And mm-hmm. it's going to be hard because it's a lifetime of thinking a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you have to say, I have to think of this in a different light.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes work. And, you know, we speak from experience. So we wish you the best. I mean, you sound like such a tender-hearted person, big-hearted person, but this shit has got to stop.
Yeah.
You know,
stop
being like an emotional punching bag for people.
Yes.
So, we don't want you to get hurt anymore. So we really do advise therapy and some really deep thinking here.
Yes, we are on your side. Keep that in mind. We're on your side. So,
and please write back to us. You know, your letter really, really got us in the heart and we want to know who you are. So you take good care. And I'm going to stop recording.